Also need food.
Alright, so we're going to do a two-part series here. An introduction to Erevin, which is a good thing to know anyway, but also it's good with us starting Erevin and Daf Yomi in 11 days. So, a little background.
What it is, 11 days?
11 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
we can't slow it down a bit?
It's like life. It just keeps on going.
It's tough to be able to extend Shabbos.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Tosefta Shabbos?
Very good.
We'll do a Tosefta Shabbos by doing...
Tosfos.
We'll do every Tosfos in Shabbos for Tosefta Shabbos. We'll just do...
The yeshivas, I think, figured out how to do that, right?
Yeah.
It's extended for a couple of years.
So, this is more... So, today we're going to focus on two parts. We're going to talk about some of the theory behind Eruv and some of the mindset behind Eruv. And you'll see what I mean. And then we'll talk about the Rishuyos... And then we'll get into really the hot button topic of the last, probably one of the most hot button topics of the last 100 years, the idea of Shishim Ribo. We'll talk about that as well, which is going to be a very important conversation. Next week, we're going to talk a lot about Mechitzos and Suras HaPesach, which becomes a very big part of an Eruv. And then we'll discuss some of the practical issues that come up in building Erevin, and Mechitzos and Suras HaPesach become the major issue when it comes to building a modern day Eruv. So we need a whole shiur just on that, really. And that will explain a lot of Maseches Erevin. Now, one of the issues of Maseches Erevin, like a lot of Masechtos, is there's a few parts of Maseches Erevin that are really, really Halach L'maisa, and there are a lot that is not. So we'll discuss that a little bit, but that's kind of a par for the course in, right when you're learning Daf Yomi especially. Okay, now, Erevin are a very strange topic because they, for some reason, become the hot-button issue, right? And there's more politics around Erevin than probably like every other area of Halacha combined. And... maybe because it's so public, or maybe because it's seen as a big kula or a big, you know, your big makil. So, you know, the Erevin becomes a big. You guys know the joke, the old joke about the chavrusas in the mirror. You hear the joke before?
No.
All right, I'll tell a joke. If you've heard it, don't stop me. Okay. The old joke is there's two guys who are learning in the mirror, right? And we're learning together for 10 years. And after 10 years, one chavrusa says to the other one, you know, we learned together for 10 years, I got to come clean. I'm not actually Jewish. So you're not Jewish. You've been learning for 10 years. Yeah, I'm not Jewish. You know, I came here one year on a trip, and I kind of got into it, and I like Judaism, and I went to, you know, this program, and I went to a pond, and, you know, I just kind of stayed. But I never converted, and I'm not Jewish. So you're not Jewish. And he asked him this question, what about this, what about that? He says, but wait a second, I see you on Shabbos all the time. I see that you keep Shabbos. You know that if you're not Jewish, you can't keep Shabbos. He says, no, what I do is I keep a key in my pocket. And this way, I make sure I'm a Chal Shabbos. He says, remember, there's an Eruv. He says, you think I hold to the Eruv? Right?
Very good.
So that's the old joke on Eruv.
It's a new joke to me.
New joke for you, okay.
It's funny.
So, but it's reminiscent of a mentality. So actually, I have a cousin in Borough Park, who got so annoyed by all of the Erevin fights in Flatbush and in Borough Park, they started a blog about Erevin. And it's like ErevinBlogspot.com. He's, you know, like a... And really interesting guy, and this is like his passion. And he did it because he felt like so many people were getting so hot and bothered by Erevin when they knew nothing about Erevin, right? They just knew it as the cause to get crazy about.
You know, it's just a chance to show off your religiosity.
Right, yeah. And like I said, it's very public, right? Nobody wants to be machmir on Mechitza the mikvah, but everybody wants to be machmir on the Erev.
Mechitza's also,
exactly. Things that don't really cause much damage. So, I want to start out by pointing out that this is actually a very dangerous mentality. And it's very contrary to halacha. So I've got a few makoros here that I think are important for us to see. So the first one is based, it's a Mordechai based on the Gemara in Erevin. So the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samechesim et Aleph, And we'll get a few Gemara of Erevin to kind of wait our appetite a little bit. So Gemara says as follows. Amrlei Rabba Bar Rabchanan Le'abayi. So Rabba Bar Chanan said to Abayi, Mevud is be tre garve, rare kurabana, lo lihavi be, lo erev, lo shituf. So the context here is, they were in the area where Rav and Abayi lived, and there was a bris, and they needed to bring something for the bris, but they couldn't carry it because it was Shabbos. And Rav Bar Chanan said to Abayi, I don't understand. Why is there no Eruv here? Like, you got the two Gedolei Hador living in this area. How come you guys haven't built an Eruv? Right, that seems strange to me. So they said back, lo Eruv lo Shituf. A little background here. All right, you know, hold on. We'll get to the difference between Eruv and Shituf when we get to the Brishiyus.
You just learned that for a bris you could carry
things that are essential, right? Things that are essential. But if it's machshire, something that's not essential, then you couldn't do it. So Amrlei Mani Avid, Mar Lav Orche Anatuna Begirse.
I'm listening.
What?
Yeah,
right. Good. It's seeping in. So Amrlei Niavid, Amani Avid said, what could we have done? Mar Lav Orche Anatuna Begirse. So he couldn't do it, and I can do it. We're too busy learning, and it wouldn't have happened. So anyway, what's the point of this Gemara? So the Mordechai says as follows. Mavua de ispe tre gavre, kerabanan lihavu below eruv. So what Rabbi Chanan was wondering, how could you have two great rabbanim like you in this area and not have an eruv? Mashrim mikan, so we see from here, the mitzvah liarev. It's a mitzvah to make an eruv, right? Don't look at it like it's a heter. It's a mitzvah to make an eruv. But time a rabba ika, and it's an important reason. Delolisili de isura. Because we don't want people to do Isurim. And if we can help them avoid Isurim by putting up an Eruv, then let's do that. Lafuke ule ule mi batim chatzeros. Because, let's face it, no matter what you do, inevitably, there are going to be people who are, knowingly or unknowingly, be doing Otsa all the time. So if you can help them, help them. Right? And that was really the message of Rabbi Chana. So according to the Mordechai, we see from this Gemara, there's a mitzvah to make an Eruv. Okay? Point number one. And we should look at it that way. Now, the second is even better. And this is a wonderful tshuva from the Rush. And this is why I love Shalos Tshuvos, because you just can't get the personality of a Rishon and Acharon from their Perushim. You just can't. But from their tshuvas, you get the personality. So listen to this Rush. It's fantastic. So he's asked about, from this Rav in some town, about whether he should or could build an Eruv. So tshuva, al shelo ratzo lashuv me'olato, Minina Eruv. So it seems that they've had some correspondence on this issue before. And the Rush is starting to get annoyed. It says, Atai Rabbi Yaakov b'Rabbi Moshe Devil Nisa. Is that, I don't know if that's a city. Okay. Kvar katasi l'chal din Yiv. I already wrote to you about Eruv.
Valencia.
Where's Valencia?
In Italy.
Italy, yeah? Okay, I'm in Valencia. So he says, I already wrote to you about the Eruv. Shinelgu b'kol galios yisur lahatir. So we've already made clear the minhag in all of Galus is to allow for an Eruv to be built with a Tzuras HaPesach, right? Now a Tzuras HaPesach, just to define our terms, a Tzuras HaPesach is when you build an Eruv not with walls but with door frames, okay? And basically, and we'll get more into this next week, every time you see an Eruv that's built from wires, which is how most Eruv are built, the theory is you're building big door frames. Okay?
Really?
That's a Tzuras HaPesach, as opposed to a wall. That becomes the major, major issue for all of Eruvin. That's something we'll do next week, because that's its own topic.
That's because it's not filled in, it's only a post and lintel.
It's a doorpost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into that next week. But that's just defining our terms. So here, it's very clear that we've allowed such an Eruv all through Galus, and yet you keep on ossering it, you, the rabbi in Valencia. And I wrote you with Rayas. I heard your points, and I keep telling you your points are idiotic. And I'm warning you to stop this, right? I'm warning you to change. Kasher hugulu api gedolim, and I'm telling you to allow them to build the eruv like the gedolim say. Vine hugadli sheata omed bimidrach veata machshel harab michol shabbos, and you're stopping it, and it's because of you people are being michol shabbos. Okay. Lachain ani gozer alecha. So I'm decreeing on you. Achas sheinatin lecha ksav ze beedim. Shetitaken hamavos hamefulashim lerushis harabim shalkutim betzuras haPesach. I'm telling you, you have to turn the cities and the streets that even the non-Jews use, which becomes an issue for Erev that has to get fixed, which we'll get into. I'm telling you to build an Erev that serves the Pesach. Within 2 weeks, of you seeing this letter, you better have built an Erev. Wow. He's giving ultimatums. And if you don't do like I'm telling you to, I'm going to put you in Cherem.
Finally, good
chair. What? Now that's a good chair. Can you imagine a chair for someone not building an Erev? Right. Now that's, have you ever heard of the thing? The Rush put people in chair for not building an Erev. Now you get put in chair for using the Erev. We might to be mass in Hedrin, and if you were in time Sanhedrin, you would have been like, what's it called? An enemy. Yeah, like a Zaka and Mamre, right? You would have been rebellious against the Gedolim. Because you are going, you're trying to uproot what he calls Rav Ashi's Talmud. You're trying to uproot the Talmud. The Gemara says this is fine. The Gemara says we can build Erevin. The Gemara says you can use Atzeres HaPesach and use wires to build an Erev. And you are trying to be firmer than the Gemara. And if you try to be firmer than the Gemara.
It sounds so familiar.
What? Well, no, it's the opposite. I'm saying.
No, yeah. It sounds familiar today. People want to be more religious than
most. Than the Gemara, exactly. Alach kol gadolim shavari mazeh, and you are going against every gadol until this time. Otam shemeitu zavad asherim machayim adim, the ones who are alive and the ones who died in previous generations. Lachem tafser becha v'altutot Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. So you better change and not forget the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the Rush. So. You don't see tshuvas like this anymore, right? It just seems that nowadays, the focus so much is on, you're being lenient by using an Eruv. And the focus is never, it's a mitzvah to build an Eruv. We have to build an Eruv. We are helping Klal Yisrael not be Mechalel Shabbos by building an Eruv. And for some reason, the loud voices is always, Usser, Machmir, Machmir, Machmir. But it seems pretty clear from the Rishonim that was not their approach. They didn't feel that this was... Now look, we'll talk about the issues and their issues in modern-day Erevin that they weren't dealing with, because our cities are different and there's different factors. But still, the fact that this is the way the Rush is talking, I think it's important for us to keep that in mind. All right. One last example of more modern times, the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer had very interesting shittas about Erevin, and some kulas about Erevin that... You know, if the Chassam Sofer himself used them, he probably would have been put in Chayrim. You know, if anyone else had said it, we'll get to it next week. But he's got some coolers in the era of that we're scared to use. They're just so wild. So, Shalom Mimeni Yedidei Rav Ni Levarer Lo Barayos Medir Chazal Shiroi V'Nechon LeKol HaKal LeKal Am Yisrael B'Chol Mekom Shmurseim LeTag Boteim B'Tikunam Tirsa Pesach. So I was asked to bring proofs from Chazal that it's a good idea for us to build Erevin with the Tzuras HaPesach. Shari Tikunim, or other ways that we build Erevin. Kiyotzibo, like that. Kidei shelo yishlu rov hamon am be'otzas mishus b'yom Shabbos Kodesh. So that people aren't machshil and don't end up doing hotza on Shabbos. So I've been at, the Chazam Sofer, I guess, he was a big proponent of Erevin. And I guess he was getting flack, or people were asking him, well, what's the makor for this? Why are we so makil here? So, I don't need to bring you rayos. I don't need to say anything. It's clear. It couldn't be clear in Chazal that we're supposed to build Eruvs. Hasecha mechayev asher yadua sheshmir yom Shabbos kodesh me'asot kochefetz hu atzlenu mitzvot harishuyot u'misha enu mashamik yachaso har hilka kofer u'mumar chol terakula k'mavur be'erevin. And it's clear that we want people to keep Shabbos. And Shabbos is very serious, and we want people to keep it. He goes on later, we'll see this later on. He also says, look, there's a bracha you make when you make an Eruv. It's a mitzvah. There's a bracha you make when you make an Eruv. I got to make that bracha. It was really cool. You actually make the bracha every time you do a new Eruv. We'll get to that. But
you fix it also?
What? No. The food part of it. The food part of the Eruv.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Not the actual building of the Eruv. Okay, we'll get to it.
Fixing of a...
No, you don't. No, we're not fixing wires. It's only when you actually do the food part. Okay. And then the Shulchan Aruch even says lehalacha, in the last verse on the first page, mitzvah lachzor achar eruv chetzeros. And listen to Lashon. Mitzvah lachzor. It's a mitzvah to chase after. It's a mitzvah to not only build an eruv, but to try to build an eruv. So, anyway, the point here is to say that this is not some bidyeved, this is not some kula, this is not just some thing that was made up because we couldn't handle keeping real Shabbos. It's none of those things. It's a positive thing. And for some reason, it gets framed this way, and it's very destructive, and it's very unproductive. And I think, we have to look at the way, we have to look at the way that our Gedolim have looked at it. The way Chazal looks at it. And they don't look at it this way. And I think the way the Rosh says is correct. Why are we trying to be firmer than the Gemara? Why are we trying to be firmer than the Rishonim and the Achronim? It doesn't make sense.
My theory is that rabbis...
Oh, blame the rabbis, huh?
Well, of course. the present company excluded.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. They're all trying to save themselves. So they don't want to come out more cooler or less religious than others. So if they're machmer, they're safe. And if they're makel, there could be trouble.
I mean...
And that's why things get ratcheted up all the time.
Now look, the truth is, the people who build the Eruvim and are consulted on Eruvim are often the Gedolim, right? You don't have any Gedolim who say, I won't paskin on an Eruv because I don't like Eruvim. Chabad is very machmir in Eruvim, but there's a halachic shita that they hold by of the Rambam that pretty much excludes them from using any modern day Eruv for the most part, which we'll get to next week. So they have a halachic reason why they have a certain chumrah they can't get around in modern day Eruvim that the Rebbe held up. But beyond
that, saying that I believe there's a political component.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the Gedolim. I think it's the Hamon Am as much as anyone. Yeah. You know, I think it becomes one of those things you can be machmer on and hang your head on. But in a few areas, especially in Brooklyn, it's become a huge issue. And for Manhattan, for many, many decades, it was a huge issue. And, it's still somewhat today. Okay, we'll get a little bit into that today. Okay. So what is the Isser here? So in order to understand how an Erev works, we have to understand the mechanics that we're working with. And in order to understand that, so let's go here to source number one. The page two, which is the backside of page one. The origin of the prohibition. So the Gemara in Erevin says as follows. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'shah Shatiken Shlomo Erevin, V'netilas Yedayim, Yad Dabatko, V'amra D'bini Im Chacham Libecha Yismach Libi Gamani, So the Gemara says that who is the one who is metaking the Eruv? The one who created the concept of Eruv and really of the Isser was Shlomo HaMelech. That's what it goes back to. Okay?
What exactly is it that he...
What did he do? Okay, so what did he do? I just want to think what order I want to do this in. I really want to do... Okay, let's get to the Gemara and Shabbos. Then we'll get to the Chasam Sofer, because it's interesting, but let's establish our terms here. So the Gemara and Shabbos, which we didn't have a meal a while back, lays out the different Rishuyos. Okay? Tanur Rabbanan. Ad Rishuyos b'Shabbos. There's four Rishuyos in Shabbos. There's four types of domains on Shabbos. Rishus HaYachid, Shus HaRabim, and the Karmelis, and Malkom Ptur. The last one, Mukim Tour, we're not going to worry about. We're not going to really talk about. It's not going to be a factor. We're going to have to define our terms here. Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, and Karmelis. Those are going to be the big three. I have it in English, but we'll go through the Gemara's terms, but then I have it in English here as well. Ve'ezuhi Rishus HaYachid. What's a Rishus HaYachid? Charetshu Amok Asara V'rachav Arba. If you have a hole that is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, a tefach is about 3.75 inches, roughly, for one tefach. Okay? So 4 tefachim is a little more than a foot. Okay? So if you have basically a foot by a foot and 10 tefachim high, which is about 2.5 feet, roughly. So if you have a hole that deep, that's a Rishus HaYachid. Or if you have it above ground, if you have a fence that is that size, same thing. Zohi Rishus HaYachid Gemur, that is a full-fledged Rishus HaYachid. So that's the private domain. It can be made out of anything. The walls can be made out of anything. There's one misnomer that people talk about a lot with walls, and that is sea walls, right? Everyone asks, why isn't every coast in Eruv? And in San Francisco, I kept getting this question because, see, San Francisco is a peninsula. And basically the way... It's a peninsula.
Oh.
And San Francisco is built like this, okay? And then it goes out like this with the bay. So here's the city of San Francisco, and here's the bay, and here is the Pacific, and here's the Golden Gate, and here's the Golden Gate Bridges. So people kept asking, why don't we just build a big Tzuras HaPesach across the entire peninsula? You use the three walls, the ocean on three sides, and you'll build an Eruv. Besides the fact that it was completely impractical to build an 8-mile long Tzuras HaPesach with mountains in the middle, just to make it easier, you know? To make it even easier. So, it's not so pashut that a seawall is necessary, that an ocean makes a Rishus HaYachid, because there has to be a very sharp incline in order to create a wall. It's not a wall unless it's a very sharp incline that kind of stops people from kind of just walking over it. So seas often have slowly descending depths, and they might have a drop, I don't know, hundreds of miles out, but who knows? You know, we don't know what the depths are like and what the drops are like, you know, a mile or two, even a mile or two out of the ocean. So we don't ever use the ocean as a wall. It's a big misnomer when it comes to Eruvin. Now, if there's a cliff, that's different. And certainly in California, a lot of the oceans, there's beaches, but there's a lot of cliffs that you can use. A cliff is a real mechitza. That's a wall. But, and you know, when we first looked into building an Eruvin in San Francisco, so we first looked into trying to build an Eruv like around using cliffs and things like that, we brought in actually someone from L.A. as like a... to help us out, until we hired him. He'd been part of the LA Eruv, and we hired him 2 days just to like research, like just drive the whole area and give us some recommendations, like just practically. So I came back with this plan to get the whole city in Eruv. Part of the plan was to build the Tzuras HaPesach across the Golden Gate Bridge. Now, they've been trying since 1977 to put up suicide barriers in the Golden Gate Bridge. Golden Gate Bridge. Right. Has the highest suicide rate of any bridge in the world.
Well, the second is George Washington.
Oh yeah, nice. So good. I gravitate towards this area. Yeah,
very competitive.
So it's the highest suicide rate in the world. So they wanted to just build suicide barriers, basically just like fences, so people just can't jump. There's nothing there. It takes no effort to jump off. Since 1977, they've been fighting a legal battle. They don't want to touch the bridge. It's a landmark. It's beautiful. We're not going to mess with the look of the bridge. So we said to them, if they can get a suicide barrier up, I'm pretty sure we're not putting up a Tzuras HaPesach on the Golden Gate Bridge. Anyway, we nixed that plan pretty quickly. So the idea is that it's a misnomer that you can just use a seawall. Okay. So that is Rishus HaYachid. Any questions on Rishus HaYachid before we go on to the next one? Okay. Number two. Back in the Gemara. Vezir Rishus HaRabim. What's a public domain? Sartia Platia Gadola, Umavuas and Mufalasha Zohi Rishus Harabim Gemura. So large, like marketplaces or things like that. Or streets, or a mavu, like a street or a road, that's mfulashim zo, that's kind of goes throughout the city, that is a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim. Why do we need a Rishus HaRabim Gemura? Because we'll see there's a rabbinic Rishus HaRabim. Eim otzim Rishus HaYachid zel Rishus HaRabim zo, v'machnisim Rishus HaRabim zel Rishus HaYachid zo. So you're not allowed midiraisa to carry from one to the other. You can't carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid or vice versa. So you get all the good punishments that come along with violating Shabbos Dereisa. But a sea or a valley or a forest or a Carmelis, which is a little undefined. So basically, you have a lot of areas that don't fall under either category, right? A Rishus HaYachid is a private domain, so that we have a sense of what that is. A Rishus HaRabim is a public domain, but as we see from the Gemara, what type of public domain? How would you define it? It's a heavily used public domain. It's a highly populated public domain. It's a shuk. It's a street, right? It's areas that people are really there in large numbers. So what about everything else? The vast majority of this earth is neither Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, right? Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim would end up being a very small percentage of actual space. You've got parks, and you've got seas, and you've got cemeteries, and you've got all sorts of other things. So what about them? So they're called they're neither Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid. Ve'nosav v'not l'metocha. So you can't carry within them. V'imnasav v'not l'metocha pater. And if you carry within it, it's pater. Basically, you have this third category called the Carmelis, which is a rabbinic Rishus HaRabim. That's basically how to refer to it. And that's the next page. The Carmelis is the rabbinic Rishus HaRabim, which basically follows the rules of the Rishus HaRabim, except it's rabbinic.
But you can't also carry from Carmelis to real Rishus HaRabim.
Right, exactly. It's not really right. Good point. It's not. It's neither one. So therefore, you can't do it from either. Right. V'emutzi mitocha Rishus HaRabim, lo Rishus HaRabim l'tocha. As Evie just said, you can't carry from the Carmelis to Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. V'emachnisim Rishus HaYachid l'tocha, lo mitocha Rishus HaYachid. But we're only talking about derabbanans. Chatzeru shorabim mivul shalinu fulashem irvu mutarim lo irvu osrim. And a chatzer that many people use, or a mavoi that's not mafulash, irvu mutarim lo irvu osrim. So we'll talk about what that is in a second. Okay, so we have these three categories. We have the Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, and we have the Carmelis. An eruv only solves one problem. Okay? An Eruv cannot solve the problem. You can't carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim even with an Eruv. It doesn't do you any good. The only time you can use an Eruv only does one thing. It allows you to turn the Carmelis into Rishus HaYachid. That's the entirety of what you're trying to accomplish with an Eruv. And that's why it becomes such a big deal how you define a Rishus HaRabim is, because if something is a Rishus HaRabim, you're now out of the Eruv game altogether. However, once you can define something as a Carmelis, now you can at least start the process of figuring out if you can build an Eruv in this location. So that's always step one. Step one is always, is this Rishus HaRabim? Until then, there's no conversation. Okay, any questions on that before we move on? Yeah.
What is my voice chain on Fulashi? Like, if you have a... What does it mean?
It's,
if you have like a...
Okay, so I'll discuss that real quick. So it goes up to the last page, the picture page. I got pictures for you.
Oh, good.
So this is really important when it comes to Masechus Eruvin. So this is a layout of residential areas in Mishnaic times. Sounds exciting, right? So here's what you had. This is the way their living structure tended to be. So you had houses or apartment buildings that opened up into a chatzer. The chatzer was jointly owned, but was tend to be closed off. Okay? So the area A is a chatzer. Area B is the mavi mafulash. So the mavi mafulash, the mavi is like an alleyway. And the mafulash means it's open on both ends. There's only two walls there. So it's more of a rishus harabim because you can enter from two sides. However, C is the mavi sasum. So the mavi sasum is also an alleyway, but it's three walled. So there we can be more makil and considering it more like a rishus yachid. So, and then D is the rishus harabim, the street, which we'll assume is a rishus harabim without getting to technicalities of what makes it a rishus harabim. So when it comes to Maseches Erevin, if you look in the bottom, we're going to talk a lot about these things. There is a gzera to look at a mavoi, even a mavi mafulash, as a karmelis, right? Because since it's attached to the Rishus HaRabim, and it's open from many sides, so there's an extra gzera. In order to make it a Rishus HaYachid, you had to do one of a few things. You either had to add a lechi, which is in the left-hand corner, you had a korah, which went across the top, where at Tzuras HaPesach, he built a door frame. You have to do one of those three things to make it part of an Eruv. Okay? That's the concept here. So when we see these terms, that's what we're referring to.
And those three things make it look like Rosh Hashanah, right?
So there's a big machlokes which runs throughout Erevin. Is the idea, is this a simen or is this a tikkun? That's a question you can hear over and over and over again. Is this just to remind you that this is...
What else would it be if it wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah? If it's still a karmas, then it's a karmas.
No, the concern is you might just go out from here to the Rosh Hashanah.
Right, but what if it's not a Rosh Hashanah, then it is a karmas.
It's a karmas, right.
Rabbis and karmas well, is allowed to be metaltal if there's no chashash that you may think you can take it to Rosh Hashanah.
Well, it's a question. Actually, it's
no,
a question.
You can't be metaltal from Rosh Hashanah to a karmas.
No, but there is a question, though. Maybe three walls. There is a sheet that maybe three walls makes Rosh Hashanah. We don't paskin it, but there is... She is the Gemara, the three walls to make Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So some say this Mavri Sassim would be Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Others say, no, it's a Karmelis, but you need something as a
hacker. Because the question is, can you carry from the Chatzar into the Mavri? Right?
Right.
So without the Lechi and the Kor, you can't carry from the Chatzar into the Mavri.
Right. Right.
No, but when you say otherwise, the Mavri is a Karmelis.
So the Sim is just to take you from here to here, but how do you carry from here to here?
No, because maybe the Karmelis. So what was the reason why the Ravana and the Karmelis becomes we consider it like it's a Rosh Hashanah? Because we're afraid that a Karmelis is so easy to basically walk into the Rosh Hashanah because it's adjoining it, that the Ravana were afraid that you're gonna do it, this is my guess.
But you also can't carry from it.
But if you make a simon that will make it that okay, now I see there's this division. Okay, I'm not gonna now. Another one gonna say, okay, we're not that afraid that you're gonna cross because there's an obvious thing. That would be if
let me ask you on the other side though. Isn't there a halacha that you can't carry from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid into a Karmelis?
Yes.
So then that would mean that
the reason you're not allowed to carry from the Rosh Hashanah is because you may continue to
because you still will go to the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. So if a Karmelis has a simon, then
still.
The only reason why there's a chumra in the Karmelis is because the Karmelis
wouldn't be any more exaggerated.
It looks like a Rosh Hashanah, so you may end up actually going to Rosh Hashanah. But if it doesn't look like a Rosh Hashanah anymore,
you can call it a pseudo Rosh Hashanah Yachim that's turned into a Karmelis because of for this purpose, because even the chatzer itself. There's a gzera that you have to have an eruv.
Right.
It's called eruv chatzeros. Eruv chatzeros. Even a chatzer, which is also pretty close to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Look at the picture.
Right.
We're walled in. This is shared property. I own a piece of this chatzer, and yet I can't go from my house to the chatzer unless we build an eruv. So that's part of the gzera here, is that I'm not allowed to go from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to anything else without the Eruv. Okay? So, what does the Eruv do and how does it work? Basically, what the Eruv is doing is... So, the Eruv is the food. Right? When we talk about an Eruv...
Eruv is the what?
Is food. The actual Eruv is food. What do I mean? So, how do you make an Eruv Tavshilin? What do you do?
Oh, Eruv Tavshilin.
Yeah. What do you do for Eruv Tavshilin?
It's like you're cooking from before.
Right. You take food and you establish it as the Eruv. How do you make an Eruv Tchumen?
put food at.
They put food at that location, then it changes your tchum from it changes your 2,000. This is a 2,000 each direction.
So
they have 3,000.
About right. Jews and food.
Exactly.
it extends.
There we go.
Exactly. As we're eating our dinner, right? So the Erev Chatzeres is the same thing, and this is another part that people don't always understand about the Erev. The Erev is a collective group deciding that we are now going to become Rishus HaYachid. Okay? We're not selling our property to each other, but we're basically giving each other rights to go into each other's property.
We're incorporating
into one collective. We're becoming communists for Shabbos, and we have collective property. And how do we establish that? We establish that by a joint process where we take food and we establish ourselves as a Rishus HaYachid. Okay? That's in essence what you're doing. So the Eruv is the food. You're taking food and you're saying, you make the bracha.
Right?
Everyone in the area within this enclosed area is now part of this Eruv. So if you look at the picture here, so there's a chatzer. There's a bunch of houses in a chatzer surrounded by the wall. So since there was a wall, we could physically say, this is the area of the Eruv. We are a Rosh Hashanah because we're enclosed within this space. What we're doing is we are making ourselves collective. Okay. That is the Eruv. That's what you make the bracha on. The building of the Eruv, it's kind of like building the sukkah, right? You're building something to allow you to do the mitzvah, but the building is not the mitzvah. You're building the Eruv to create an enclosure that allows you to actually make the Eruv. You know what I'm saying? That's really what an Eruv is.
So the everyday Eruv, there's food involved?
Yes.
There is? Sorry. Who eats the food?
Nobody eats the food. You don't eat the food. You take... Nowadays we use matzah. Because matzah, if you use bread, you'd have to change it every week. So we use matzah because it can last, a year at a time, basically. You take a box of matzah, and you make the bracha, and someone is... Usually the Rav is... Given, kind of like a Rav can make an Erev Tashulim for everyone, he can make an Erev Chatzeros, and they make an Erev Chatzeros. They declare that this... Both. You do the same thing for both? There's something more. The Sheet of Mavoi, we'll get the Sheet of Mavoi, that's not so shy in a Bismanazah. But, and that's how you build the Erev.
Where's the Matzakat?
That's always a secret.
It's a secret.
Yeah, it's usually one of the shuls, typically, but it could be anywhere. As long as it's in the area of space, it doesn't matter where it is.
But no one eats.
No one eats the Eruv. You're not supposed to eat the Eruv.
But I'm not sure.
So
what you're talking about is mevois and mefuloshim or v'shein and mefuloshim?
For which?
The whole food business.
For every Eruv.
Even here?
Even here.
So
Our Eruv in Manhattan is existing because somewhere there's a box of matzah that is in someone's shul.
So when the Gemara over here in Shabbos says, Chatzer Shalav Mavois She'en on Mefuloshin Eruv Mutarim Leim Vasuri.
Right.
So what would be by Mavois Mefuloshin?
Well, Mefuloshin
first. Mefuloshin is the C over here in the picture.
So
the Gemara says by...
Yeah, it's lav dafka. It's lav dafka. I'm saying.
But I don't get... So I get why, putting a siman, can help out because then, the Chazal Rabbanan was because we're afraid you may actually be mechalel the raisa, therefore we make some definition, we're not so afraid anymore. How does, the collective deciding to make a street that's actually like number B, right? Doesn't belong to them, right? And they're saying, okay, we're going to kind of... say belongs to us and collectively.
So how do we make the entire area collective if we don't clearly own most of it?
It's more like you create a wall around everything, you're creating a new Rosh Hashanah, but the question is, how do you do that? It's not yours.
Okay, good question.
Yeah, that's the same
good question.
You take 70 West 76th Street, you close
and now it's ours.
It's like ours, yeah.
Yeah. So this is where the Sechiris Rishus comes in. And I'll talk about that more next week, but I'll just give a little introduction to that. The Sechiris Rishus is the other secret of the Eruv. It is. Basically, what we paskin is that you don't have to own the entirety of the land; you have to have eminent domain over it, right? Meaning, what makes an eruv an eruv? that said, I have the right to go into your home. Is what the fact that we have an eruv means, halachically, we're joint, we have joint ownership. So, if somebody who could either owns the area or has permission to have eminent domain over the area, if they give us rishus to do the same thing, then we, in a sense, own it. So, in order for an eruv to work, you need either a government official or police chief or fire chief or somebody to sign off on a document that gives you basically eminent domain over that area.
The words eminent domain?
We don't usually write that. And there's a lot of discussion as to what you write because, you know, again, you don't want to scare them off too much. But you write, you know, given, you know, you write something to the effect of, is given the rights to the area within the Eruv for the purposes of Eruv. We write that in so it doesn't sound too scary, even though for the purpose of the Eruv, what does that really mean? That really means that we now have eminent domain over the city for halachic purposes. So that's just the word. Now, it depends. Some places might just give it to you because they know that you're not going to start bearing, you know, knocking people's doors and saying, hi, I have a right to come in.
Could be a good hedge fund opportunity. Buy out the air rights.
But that, in some cities, that's a challenge.
You have to get all the chametz, you know.
The first time I called, in San Francisco, the first time I called the head of the local police and wanted to discuss this idea with them, they thought I was a lunatic. Mm. So, you know, I realized you have to go high up for these things. Really, you have to go high up. You have to go to the top, because the people at the top, A, they're more likely to have heard about this. They'll talk to other cities that have done it, and they know this is not something crazy. The lower level people are not going to take a risk on stuff like this. So we ended up working with a supervisor of our district. The way it worked in San Francisco is you have 9 different districts. The city's broken up into 9 districts, and then each district has a supervisor, and then they all work under the mayor. So we worked with our local supervisor, and she, you know, she's wanted to help us and wanted to help the community, and she signed off on it, and she got the police chief to sign off on it. Like, on her last day in office, the police chief signed off on it. But we got it for the whole, so since we got the police chief, we got the whole city of San Francisco.
Is there a term?
She gives us, what? 99 years. 99 years. So in 99 years, someone else's problem.
We'll have to check on it.
Someone else's problem.
That's a 99-year moxie.
No, the moxie can change constantly. Yeah. No.
Actually, you kind of have to, no?
Because yeah, you have to. Yeah. No, you have to. Actually,
must have to check
it? What?
Does someone have to check it?
You have to make sure the moxie is edible. If the food becomes inedible, the eruv is invalid. And, you know, and in theory, you could have people going crazy over, you know, is this lying down? Is it too crooked or something? The whole time, if they're not changing the matzah, the air was pasta the whole time, you know. And I'm sure there's situations where that happens, where they just forget about it or don't take
you
it seriously.
You check the matzah?
I'll just change it periodically. The way, you know, if you change it before Pesach and before Sukkot, you know, it's a good time to do it.
Don't know about the food element.
Yeah,
you know it.
Never heard it before.
For instance, take West 76th Street.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any anything that closes this, right?
The Eruv, the entire Eruv.
But this Mov itself, why isn't it a Carmelist within the Eruv?
It is a Carmelist, but it's within the Eruv. So any Carmelist within the Eruv is in the Eruv.
It's one John.
It's one John Carmelist.
You know, so you one John Carmelist is all of a sudden mutter.
Carmelist.
If you surround it with an Eruv, now you're designating the area, you're making it based into a potential Rosh Hashayachid. And then once you get their skew Rosh Hashayachid,
the bigger area is not the full.
So if you can you carry from one Eruv enclosure to another adjacent Eruv enclosure?
Let me say again.
Let's say you have Eruv A, Eruv Area A, and Eruv Area B, they're next to each other. Can you walk from Eruv A to
Eruv B? Yeah, if they're attached, yeah.
Well, they're attached, but I mean, it's two, like there's, you know, there's one area, four walls, and then, you know, also four walls. They share one of the walls, and there's a door in that wall.
Yeah.
You
can go from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid.
Oh,
if they're
attached apartment
buildings, you could walk from one to the next.
Even though it's not your own Rosh Hashayachid, it's a different collective, essentially.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, it's fine.
What about, let's say, like Broadway? The one thing I remember from Erevin is that Asu Rabban Mabatli Mechitza. You have a lot of people going into an area. They undo the Eruv.
We're going to get to that more next week.
Okay.
Let's talk about one other big issue, because that'll come up next week. Okay. But basically, that's what the Erev is. The Erev is... the Erev is fencing off an area or making a big source of Pesach around an area, making that a potential Rishus Yachid. Then you have the collective... The Jews are collectively joined through the food. And then the Srirish Rishus joins in the streets and the non-Jews who live in the area. And then all that together makes an Erev. Okay. Now, when it comes to Rishus HaRabim, the biggest thing in modern time is the issue of 600,000 people. You hear about this issue? Shishim Ribu, 600,000? Okay. So, where does this come from? It comes from a magical Rashi. And there's a few magical Rashis. The first one here, Masechet Shabbos, is, and then the two we'll do in Erevin as well. Rashi says, Masechet Shabbos, look, Shus HaRabim, De'enan domin l'tgali midbar, de'lav l'hilucha de'rabim avidi. That Rashi has this shita, that in order for something to be Hotzah, it has to match the way they did things in the midbar. Okay? Since the original Hotzah was in the midbar, so it has to match the way they did things in the midbar. One of the things about the midbar is how many people were there. The Torah says there were 600,000 Jews. So therefore, Rashi says, in order for it to be Erev Shus HaRabim, it has to match the situation that Jews lived in, which was 600,000 people in an area. Now, there's a kasha on this. What's the kasha on this?
They did not live in the same area?
No, they lived, well, within a certain area.
There's a lot more than 600,000.
A lot more than 600,000. What are you talking about? Exactly. Yeah, there's probably 2 or 3 million.
Yeah. Six important 600,000.
Right. So we'll see how so Rav Moshe answers that question for Rashi in an interesting way. So another Rashi in Erevin says as follows: Mashu Rachav Sheish Esrei Ama VeYirshim Mitzuyim Ba Shishim Ribo. So Rashi says this shita.
I have an answer. The women never left the house. They never walked around.
Oh, and the kids also?
They stay with their mother.
And the men over the age of 60?
Yeah.
You're still working on it. Okay. So Rosh says, V'ir shemetsuyim ba'shishim ribu v'ein ba'choma shahaya rishus harabim shala mechavim mishar lashar. So he defines Erev Shus HaRabim as has to be a city that has 600,000 people. So that is the way Rashi explains. And here, the second Rashi we have on our sheet, in Masechet Erevin Daf Nun Testament Aleph, Ir Shel Yachin, Shelo Hayu Nichnasim Ba Tamid Shishim Ribo Shel Bnei Adam. There's not constantly 600,000 people there. Lo Chashiv Erev Shus HaRabim Dilo Dami L'Tgali Midbar. So again, it's not like the Midbar because there aren't 600,000 people there. So this is Rashi Shita. You need 600,000 people in the city to make it Erev Shus HaRabim. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, takes the Shita and adds something to it, which comes out of left field. So next source, the Ramah says, Yesh Orim Shekol She'en Shishim Ribo Ovrim Bo Bechol Yom Ein Erev Shus HaRabim. So the Ramah adds in this Lashon Bechol Yom. Rashi never says Bechol Yom. There needs to be 600,000 people there every day in order to be a Erev Shus HaRabim. Now we'll see that ends up being potentially a very big kula. The Mishnah Berurah takes this line and says as follows: Chafasti bechol rishonim ha'ondim mishidazai. I looked at every rishon who quotes Rashi. Now, it's not just Rashi; there's many rishonim who hold of this shita of 600,000. V'lo niske b'divrehem tanaizah. I've never seen any rishon who mentions this idea of bechol yom. Rashi mitzuyan sham shishirimbo. I just saw there had to be 600,000 people there. Never said anything b'chol yom, that he's like, the Ramah like makes this up. That's how the Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't know where he's coming from. In the Bir Halacha, the Chavetz Chaim makes the point, that it's a very long Bir Halacha, so I just quote a part of it, and I encourage you to read the whole thing. I'm Mishnah Berurah, Shema Shekasav, so he quotes himself. Look at the Mishnah Berurah I wrote. The Midas HaMachaber Mashmiz L'Savar came. Behind the Mechaber never mentions 600,000, only the Ramah. So he assumes that means that the Mechaber doesn't hold that in order to be Rishus HaRabim, you need 600,000 people. Finally, the class of day is Urak, Beshem Yesh Omrim, It's only in the Yesh Omrim, says the Ramav. Hine Hamagin Avram Kasav Demisimin Shin Gimel Besif Sivachichet Shem Mashman Memechabe Lesav Lekin Lehalacha. For Dachu Dov Zek Kam Vakam Achronim Dehevi Shem Rak Das and Melandim Zchus. And many Achronim also don't hold to this idea of 600,000. They only quote the Rishonim who mentioned 600,000 to bring a Zchus to them because they're relying on this. Because what does 600,000 do? It provides a tremendous kula, right? If you're going to tell me something can only be Rishus Harabim if there's 600,000 people, first I'll say in that city. Well, now you just gave a kula for every city with less than 600,000 people in it, and through most of human history, that was most city. Even large cities had less than 600,000 people in it. You just basically said that there's no Rishus Harabim anywhere. That's a pretty big kula.
They also have to pass under it every day.
Right now, we haven't gotten to anything like that. Yeah. According to the Rishonim, it seems, according to Rashi at least, there has to be 600,000 people living in that city to even be considered Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
You have to pray Shishim Rimbo Obrimbo. That's distinct from Mitzvimbo. Mitzvimbo means you can be sitting in your apartment.
Right.
Well, that's in the Ramah. Yeah, and I agree.
Obrimbo means that they're walking in the street.
I agree. Right. You can definitely look at in the Ramah and say, right, that they're walking to... Right. And we'll see. No, that's picked up in the post-game as well. Good point. So this becomes a huge, huge, huge kula. And so the Be'er Lach say, look, every... The Rishonim that quote this, the Achronim that quote this Shita are only doing so to bring schus to those who are using it. Because if you don't hold of this Shita of Rashi, then any city can have Rishus HaRabim. If you have a large street that's heavily traversed, and it's wide, if it's 16 amos wide, if it's the other categories of Rishus HaRabim, then you can have Rishus HaRabim in any city. But if you add in the 600,000 condition, you just limited the amount of possibilities of Rishus HaRabim. It's a huge, huge kula. It's such a huge kula that in modern times, and we'll see that what Achronim do with, you know, the postim do with this Shita, we could probably never build an Erev in modern times without Rashi. We couldn't do it. Without this Rashi, Shita Rashi, we would not have Erev anywhere, because we'd end up having Rosh Hasharabim in all the major cities, for the most part, and you'd be stuck. Yafa, you know, Rehov Yafa would be Rosh Hasharabim, and Rosh Hashabra would be Rosh Hasharabim, and, you know, Pico Boulevard in LA will be Rosh Hasharabim, and I-95 will be Rosh Hasharabim in Miami. I mean, whatever, you know, Biscayne Boulevard, you would go anywhere, you'd have Rosh Hasharabim. So this Shita allows us to build Erevin, you know. And it's the postgame all rely on it. I mean, there's no Erev that doesn't rely on this that I know of. I mean, maybe there is, but maybe in a small town. Maybe, you know, Mobile, Alabama doesn't need it. I don't know.
Palo Alto.
Less
than 600,000.
Yeah. In the city, maybe. Yeah, well, there might be some cities that don't need it. Okay. Okay. And then he quotes a bunch of Rishonim that are against it. Achein lumad zeh yesh harbe shov mishus rabim humanet terek shirabim bokim b'makom hazeh im mufulash. So the main Rishonim who say that, no, as long as you have a straight shot city, a street that goes across the city, that's Rishus HaRabim, v'lo bina, and you don't need 600,000. And that's the Rambam, the Bein Otam, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, what's that abbreviation? I guess I'm Manios, I guess. I guess I'm Ve'aran, Ve'perek Me'isha, Ve'gaz Mordechai, Ve'arashbam. He just starts listing all the Rishonim. That, now, earlier he listed a bunch of Rishonim that agree with Rashi, but there's a bunch that don't. Okay, so La'alacha, what do we do with all this? So, okay. So actually, Tosos thinks that this Shita is not Rashi Shita. Tosos thinks this goes back to the Bahag. No one seems to have this Bahag, like, you know, the Ksav Yad, or seen it written by the Bahag, but Tosos quotes the Bahag that's where this Shita comes from.
Because it also comes from the fact that the Indian of Hotzah, one of the places we learned it from was that something to do with when they brought the
Mishkan.
Stuff from the Mishkan to the right. To the Levim.
Right.
So the first place that carrying happened was in the camp, and they brought it into the Mishkan. So it was from the camp that it was coming from was the 600,000. So
right, but it's
That's why it's not Rashi.
Right. That's Rashi Shita.
But I'm just saying the because I mean, right. Where the makor.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. That was my point. Right. Yeah. No. Sorry. I wasn't clear about that. Yeah. But you know, you're right. Exactly. That. But the problem is, I mean, just because that's the way it was started doesn't mean. I mean, they were wearing sandals. Doesn't mean that you have to wear sandals to be right. to do the malacha. Right. They were, right. you know, maybe they had long hair. I mean, so it's just yeah. That's the context. Who says that's part of the halacha? Right. But that's what Rashi holds that it is. That you have to has to be like it was then. So the post game. This is what they do. So Ramosha says 600,000 is the amount of people in the streets at one time, and he basically that's the Ramah, the over and above the Ramah. A city, right? So that's Ramosha Shita. That it's not 600,000 people who live in the city. It's 600,000 people. If 600,000 people can ever be in the streets in the same time in that
it's
city,
not every day, it has to be at one point.
A city that has one, capacity.
If there could
years.
Be a moment in time, if there could be a moment in time where you'd have 600,000 people out in the streets. So then that's
have to happen anymore?
Well, you would never know for sure, right? You just so he estimates that you probably would need a city of 2 or 3 million people for that to be a possibility. And that could be kind of the way he explains Rashi is the 600,000, but there are millions of people there. He says no, it means 600,000 people are out. When you have 3 million people, it means 600,000 people are outside at the same time. So that's how he understands it. He also holds that geographical boundaries can separate the count. So Brooklyn and Manhattan would have different counts of 600,000. Right? It has to be separate. And it's only 12 mil by 12 mil, which is about 8 miles by 8 miles. That is going to be, you have to have 600,000 people at one point in time in a space of 8 miles by 8 miles. Which limits you to probably only a few cities in the entire world that would ever have that. Maybe Manhattan, Paris, I don't know.
That's where Moshe Feinstein.
Tokyo. What?
Moshe Feinstein?
Yeah, that's where Moshe Feinstein. Right. So there's probably only a few cities in the world that would ever have that. Chaim Ozer held that the streets of Paris were Shus Arabim because he thought there were 600,000 people in the streets at one time.
In the streets. Around the city, not in one area.
In the city, yeah. Oh. So Chaim Ozer held that Paris was one big Shus Arabim. He couldn't build it. He was against building an Arab in Paris. The Beis Ephraim is Rav Margolis, who in Poland in the early 1800s. So his shita kind of becomes very prominent. So he holds that 600,000 means 600,000 people in the city, but it means 600,000 people that could be on a particular street in that city. And he really takes the over and bow literally. And this becomes the shita and the kula that pretty much everyone uses. When you hear there has to be 600,000 people on a street in a day, that is the Beis Ephraim sheet. That's where we get it from.
So what do we see about Broadway? What do you consider?
Well, that becomes the big machlokes, if how many people are in Broadway, or is it mefulash? Maybe Broadway is mefulash because it curves. So in Broadway you can get away with because it curves.
In other words, from 72nd to is it one Broadway, then it's Broadway 2, Broadway.
Yeah. Right, it's not mefulash literally, right. Yeah, which is another cool thing you can use. So that becomes and then okay. So
well, what about breaking it up? Like saying, okay, like we were just talking about that you have an Erev next to an Erev, and you say, okay, we're gonna define this Erev that's only, you know, 5 blocks of Broadway.
Oh, that's right.
Which is not gonna have, you know, you're not gonna have that 600,000, and then do it again.
Right, but the problem is it's kind of a catch 22 because you can only build that Eruv if it's not a Rosh Hashanah. So you can't build the Eruv to say now it's cut off unless it's not a Rosh Hashanah. Once it's Rosh Hashanah, you can't get any birth Eruv in the first place to then do that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right. You can't build an Eruv to make it not a Rosh Hashanah if it's already a Rosh Hashanah. So you're kind of stuck with it. Yeah. So once that streets of Rosh Hashanah, your Eruv is, you know, it's got Eruv force field or something around it. You know, this isn't any good. Okay, so this ends up being, now there is the Aruch HaShulchan that's used as a kula also. The Aruch HaShulchan holds that there is no Rosh HaRabim anymore in our time, because he felt that the Rosh HaRabim meant when you had one central road that everyone used. And our cities aren't built like that anymore. There's not one road. There used to be one road, the Rosh Hashanah road. And look at the way the Gemara describes Rosh Hashanah. It seems that that was their concept, and for the most part. So he felt that now there's no Rosh Hashanah now anyway.
Yeah, but you look at any city, even layouts of ancient times, and that wasn't the case either.
That's how he felt. He felt, you know, I mean, go back to the Midbar, they had one. I don't know, that's a Shita. And it's not really used seriously, but some will use it as a, you know, as everyone, they seem to make you with. There's no central road anymore.
There's
one road that's the Rosh Hashanah road that everyone uses.
No, it's more like how the city structured that they had one road in the middle, and then the
right.
city is built around.
They'll go from one gate of the from one shahr to the other shahr. They go right down the middle of the shahr. That's how their cities were constructed. That's the shita. Okay, so that's the basic construct of the Eruv. I have here also the Rambam, who gives a little bit more of explanation as to why there was the Gzera of the Carmelis. But I think it's also important to mention, you know, so let's go back to that Chasam Sofer we skipped, and we'll finish with this, because it's an important Chasam Sofer. So, the Chasam Sofer's point, I'll just do it outside, is, you know, when we talk about the Kula of the Eruv, so, we have to realize there's a kula attached to a chumrah. And Chazal did this all the time. They would create a gzera, but build into the gzera a way out, right? And the Erev basically is the way out of the Carmelis. Chazal built the Carmelis. They can, you know, I brought you into this world, I can get you out of it. I created this gzera, I can give you a way out of it. Yeah, so... So basically, that's what we have here, and like we said, there's a bracha for the eruv. There's a mitzvah to give an eruv. There's Shulchan Aruch says it's a mitzvah to do an eruv. So it's not fair to criticize an eruv and say, oh, well, that's just the kula. Well, of course it's a kula, but the kula based on Chazal's chumrah that was made out of whole cloth anyway.
Because if you think anyways, any time that we would be considered carrying, if we would carry from our house to shul. We're never passing through Rosh Hashanah for the most part, unless you say Broadway and someone's walking across Broadway. And let's say it's all
Carmelis.
It's all right. 99% of the time it's Carmelis. So its enemies would only be a Derabbanan, and then the even if there's Machlokas, whether or not there's Rosh Hashanah in the greater area, it's still you could be Makel on a Derabbanan.
Right, but now but Chazal built in a Kula that's no longer a Derabbanan. Basically, they create the Carmelis.
Even if then you have a question of, well, maybe there's Rosh Hashanah in the middle.
Right.
But it's the whole problem of the carrying of, yeah, people is only Derabbanan. So worst case scenario,
right.
Even if it is Rosh Hashanah, what are people...
You're dealing with Derabbanan Yisroel, and on some level you can say Savi Derabbanan Lekulas
right.
in pretty much all instances. Right.
Assuming it's Derabbanan, I mean, it's maybe the rest of it.
To do what? To go into Carmelis?
No, those areas
that you're talking about. Right, right, right.
Columbus may be their rice, according to some shit.
Oh, that's true. You're saying
it's not the Rabbanon, right?
According to the Rishonim, that don't see 100,000, it's their rice.
That's in like potentially. City. But if you go to a suburb,
rural
place. Yeah. But you're right. Any,
if you're in Teaneck or you're in West Hempstead, you're not dealing with any of your sister Rabbanon shalos, for sure.
Yeah, Teaneck for sure?
Why?
Even
if we're four.
This Rambam and the Ramban, all these that he quoted. Rabbi Baki Mamokim Azed.
Yeah, maybe like Cedar Lane. Maybe some of the bigger streets could be. Maybe. Yeah, according to those streets. But I'm saying, according to 600,000, there's no Havamina.
But you say it's only Rashi
and the rest. No, it's a lot of other Shonim too. The Bir Halacha brings down a bunch of Shonim in their direction.
You're saying it's still would be except the rice, and therefore there's.
According to some people, I mean, at least Columbus.
Yeah,
how are we saying the I mean, that makes you think that the rumors over here on the upper west.
I'm back next week. We'll talk about it more. Okay. that'll be our cliffhanger for next week. Yeah.
Well, in a similar discussion, they said something about there's no one single public square in New York that somehow lets New York off the hook.
No, that's the Aruch HaShulchan's point in some way. Yeah.
The fact that there's no single street that's absolutely straight to that.
Right, that's not Mefulash. Right.
It must be straight, not crooked.
Well, I guess...
That sort of...
Is there any major street that's straight?
Supposedly there isn't. Supposedly there isn't. Actually, there was an article by Diane Grunfield, who I believe is a great-great-grandson
right.
of the Rebbe. She's from Brothers.
He said that because it's a crooked street that is considered the walled city, because you can't run, if you run a line from one building, it'll crash into another building.
Right.
It's crooked. So it's like a walled city, so to speak, that allows for narrow.
Right, yeah. In London's another city. You could have 600,000 people in London.
It's not absolutely sure. There's a curve for it. If you look at it on a big scale, supposedly, that's the.